This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Kimberly Martin for some advice and some outlook and some perspective on the NFL. She has covered this league for a long time and now is part of the ESPN family and a rising star in the ESPN NFL Insiders, as you can see her on the sideline every Sunday and, of course, all over the place on the network throughout the rest of the week. And in her busy schedule, she has pushed aside some things. In fact, I heard she canceled something very important for the network just to join us here right now on our show.
Footprints.
Kmart, what's up? I can't do that conference call. Jimmy, got to talk to Alan and Bart. So, Bart's at the top of my list. What's going on?
Akuda Matata, maintaining. What's good with you?
Nothing. Life is good. Life is crazy. And this week, going to Minnesota. I felt really in my element because MetLife, the weather was nice over the weekend. Did my little stand-up with no coat. I was finally feeling it. And then I get the text message, like, you're going to Minnesota. I'm like, all right. So that's on deck, Bears Vikings. So
bundle up. Oh, Minnesota, are you? Oh, you're going to Minnesota, are you? All right, then. Well, I mean, yeah, obviously bundle up, but it actually is, and now that we're going to spend a lot of time on this game, but still, it's a pretty big game. I mean, it's a pretty important game for both teams. So there's some sizzle there, isn't there?
There's some sizzle, because these teams always seem to play each other a lot towards the end of the season, obviously. But for the first time, it seems like stuff is actually on the line. Like, when you look at the way these two teams started the season, the Bears and the Vikings, they started in opposite fashion. Bears were hot, now they're slumping. Vikings stunk. Now they're ascending, except they've got kicker issues. So I'll be talking a lot about their kicking woes on Sunday.
Now, you know, what's crazy when you look at this is like, is this a game that Matt Nagy has to have? Because you look at, you know, things haven't worked out. You know, we assumed that the quarterback and Mitch Trubisky won't be brought back. They didn't pick up his option. And we know that Nick Foles isn't the answer. You know, and a lot of times, you know, he was brought in to fix the quarterback. And we know around the league, if you don't fix the quarterback and they kind of joined him at the hip, that could cost you an opportunity and potentially a job. And then on the other side, Zimmer, you know, it looked like this team was all in, you know, moving on from Stephon Diggs and going out to get Jefferson. But then, you know, they made the trade for Yannick Ngakoue, and then they traded him to the Ravens. So it almost seemed, it felt like they were giving up on the season. Then they got hot. Now they're right back in kind of no man's land. This game is big for both teams if they want to have any hopes of maybe sneaking in a wild card at 6-7, both teams. You know, what's the ramifications of whoever loses this game?
I think both of these teams are just in a weird spot. Like, what is the future, right? Like, I understand, you know, the Vikings have invested a ton of money in Kirk Cousins. You know, there's still questions about whether he's going to be the guy that's going to take you over the hump. The Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson situation, it's amazing to see a trade, you know, the Bills trade for Stephon, love it, worked out for them perfectly. Vikings love Justin Jefferson, so that's great. But what are the you know, you thought the Vikings were going to, I actually thought they were going to win the division this year. Just based on the defense, I thought, like, okay, if this is going to be a season, Kirk's going to put it together. And the Bears, man, like the Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles quarterback situation, it is so, it's just sad. Because, and I like Nick Foles a lot, but when you look at Ryan Pace, the GM, and the decisions that have been made in the front office, like, if you're Matt Nagy, are you saying, look, I can coach this team. I'm an offensive guru. Is he going to be giving you the same spiel as Adam Gase? Like, I'm an offensive guy. Like, I just need, give me a good quarterback and I can make it work. You know, the end of the season when teams are not in good standings and it seems like the offseason could bring a lot of changes, who's in the owner's ears? Like, who's in, like, who has whose ear and selling themselves and making a case? And you see that around, we're going to see a lot of turnover this offseason, as you guys have talked about a lot with the Jets and other teams. So, it's not a good situation, especially in Chicago.
Talking with Kimberly Martin, an NFL insider and obviously a friend of the show for a very long time, and we're glad to have her on. Very long time. So with that in mind with Chicago, one thing that we've kind of kicked around is as the Jets are teaming towards 0-16 and getting Trevor Lawrence in the draft, Sam Darnold's got to have a place to go. Would Chicago be a place? Could you see the Bears looking that way and maybe going with another young quarterback if they're going to move on, and it sounds like they are, from Trubisky, and they feel like Foles is not the answer. Would Sam Darnold, would they be a candidate for Sam Darnold?
I guess, but, you know, Sam hasn't, I know everybody in New York is killing Gase. Sam has not played well. He clearly needs a change of scenery, but for Sam, you almost want him to be with a stable organization that knows what it's doing, that he doesn't necessarily have to be the guy once he walks in the door. You know, like he can sit and watch, you know, like an Alex Smith. I'm not saying he should go to Washington, but he should watch like an Alex Smith or a guy that you know is transitioning out, but you can learn from him. Like Sam just needs to take a minute and just kind of watch and regroup and refocus. And what we've seen from the Bears have had two quarterbacks. And like they still can't figure it out. Like I don't know if, I guess it could work in Chicago, but if you're a Bears fan, are you getting, after you watch Mitch, is he the guy, is he not the guy? Then you watch Foles, okay, here's a veteran established guy. Okay, well now he's not so great. Are you really going to be clamoring for Sam Darnold? Is that going to be the thing? You know, they have such a good defense that they're just, you know, that they've wasted, you know? You know, they just haven't taken advantage of having such a strong defense and the offense consistently matching the defensive performances. So I don't love Sam in Chicago. I think he really needs to go somewhere where, you know, you got a veteran guy that will be around for another year. You know what I mean? I think he needs
you're talking like the Jameis Winston scenario, but it's not a lot of opportunities like that. I think that Sam, you know, potentially, you know, there or any, I like him at the Colts the best because they have the offensive line, they have the weapons on the outside.
Right, and you've seen what Frank Reich can do with QBs. Yes.
Right. But, you know, Nagy was supposed to be the quarterback whisperer too, because I think the majority of the league believes that Sam isn't broken. He just has some bad habits that he's developed because he's been behind a porous offensive line and he's had inadequate coaching, you know, for the quarterback position. And so I think teams still believe on him. And I think the Jets can probably get a second and maybe even a third round draft pick for him, because I think that, you know, evaluators, they still glow over Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold hasn't been forced to take accountability for his play yet. When you think about Tariq Cohen maybe coming back and Allen Robinson, you know, needed to be re-signed, it could be something that could be Nagy's last-ditch effort to try and save his job. Because when you look at I look at the fact that, you know, Sam comes and all you have to do is pick up his option, but you still have him for 2 years to make a true decision. And then giving up a second-round draft pick, you know, is not the worst thing to have to give up. I mean, you still have your first draft pick.
Yeah, somebody mentioned Pittsburgh to me. I saw, just throwing it out, like that would be like a good place. You got like Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
you got like an established head coach in Mike Tomlin. You've got a team that, for whatever reason, kudos to their front office. They always draft wide receivers. They always pick up wide receivers that do their thing. Well, lately they find them. That would be, I feel like you said, Bart, there aren't a lot of perfect scenarios. And I think, unfortunately, in football, some QBs are lucky enough to land in great situations. And maybe they're not asked to do much right away, but when they take the reins, they're ready to go. Other guys, sometimes it's a crapshoot. There aren't a lot of perfect situations in football games. Like you have, like the offensive line, like you got to be able to adjust. Like if the Bengals are going to throw Joe Burrow out behind a bad offensive line or an offensive line that's not consistent, you know, he can't get sacked 65 times. You know what I'm saying? Like he has to move. Like he has to do something. It's not a perfect situation. And you need Sam to show that when the conditions aren't right, that you can change the protection at the line, that you can find guys, like you're not forcing the ball, like you're not seeing goats. You know, like at some point, this is what, year three now? I mean, like, and you're seeing in the same division, you're seeing Josh Allen, a guy who works in the offseason with Sam Darnold, and you see the change and the growth and the maturation and the decision-making on the field. You see that in Buffalo. And it's not happening, it didn't happen here in New York when, you know, the Jets sold you on an offensive guru in Adam Gase.
That's as honest as you can have as a take on Sam Darnold from UK. I mean, you know, we don't get enough of that because it's always about Gase. But what you're saying, we all see it, and you're absolutely right. And it is something that I think also leads to why it's so easy at this point. And I've said this before. In the beginning of the season, I don't know if I want to give up on Sam. By the end of the season, yeah, I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to move on to the next guy. That's just how it goes. But, you know, you worked the Cardinals-Giants game last weekend. And, you know, yeah. Bart's favorite quarterback in the league is Kyler Murray. He never criticizes Kyler Murray ever.
I thought a lot about Bart in the lead up to that game, watching Kyler's like Zoom press conferences and how he talks to the media. So I thought a lot about Bart and his Kyler Murray.
So is he wrong or is he right? What kind of vibe did you get in your dealings?
To be fair, so it's on Zoom. I didn't speak to him one-on-one on the phone or anything like that. But watching, you know, the questions, it was interesting because the questions were about, hey, so, you know, you've been criticized lately about your effort in practice and how you're, and you look like you're not running the ball a lot because, like, you're afraid of your shoulder. Like, what's the deal with the shoulder? And he was like, I don't know who's criticizing me. Like, I don't know that dude. Like, I don't care about what outsiders say, which at face value is that's cool because we all have haters and we don't need to spend time worrying about what they think. Right. But there was sort of, you know, I said it on Countdown, like he sort of like bristled and sort of was like, kind of like got a little attitude.
Yeah, he's smug as hell.
Which I mean,
no, it's not, man. Answer like a professional. You the damn CEO, loves. I call him Little Stewie.
Agree.
I call him Stewart. I call him Stewart because his head looks like a sideways football. I'm like, your head is so damn wide. Why don't you have some Lord respect for the game and the position in which you in? You're supposed to be the CEO. Lie. Fake it to make it. Say the politically correct thing to say because that's what we expect from our quarterbacks. We don't want honesty from our quarterbacks. Like, he slouches down. He cusses during press conferences. If Cam Newton had that body language and answered questions to you like that, we would be saying, hey, this guy go. We already
know. So here's the thing. This is why I'm saying I didn't love it. I didn't like how he responded to some of the questions. But I also was there that Super Bowl where Cam just stormed off after, like, taking five questions. And I, you know, I had to write the story, and I was very critical of Cam at the time. But I've seen Cam mature and I've seen him change. I'm not saying that, I hope Kyler learns that you may not be used to losing your whole life. But here's the NFL. A lot of guys that used to be stars in high school, college, well, they come to the NFL and they get knocked on their butt. And how do you still be the leader of the team, still be positive, not give off that, like, I'm annoyed? As much as you understand it, it's a real emotion. Like, these guys hate to lose. Bart, you get it. But I just hope he learns. I'm not trying to, I won't label him as a bad kid or anything like that. I don't love some of the press conference. I'm curious if he'll kind of grow out of that, or somebody will just say, like, hey, man, like, you got to sort of finesse it a little bit, because we're going to pick up on the body language. You're going to pick up on, you're saying you don't listen to outsiders, but you seem real salty talking about it. Like, what's the real thing?
So he's 76.
As long as they win,
right. Yes.
We don't care whether, you know what I mean?
Right. So. But that's what I'm saying. He's 7-6. Could you imagine him having one of the seasons that the Jets are having this year? Could you imagine him having a season like the Giants are having this year? Eventually, every player.
Isn't that why Odell got criticized?
Yeah.
Got criticized. The team would lose. But Bart, here's the thing.
Every team goes through this, though. If you're going to be in this league long enough, you're going to have a year where it's just horrible.
But if Kyler was Sam Darnold, would he sit up every week and give the Sam Darnold, like, we just have to get better? It's on, you know.
Yeah, or Sam has really got it down, right? Yeah. But Kim, you and I look at it, though. We look at it from our, you know, reporter perspective. And it's something that I don't think, like, Bart, as an athlete, you might get it, Bart, because you're
listen,
wired that
I've
way.
I've covered Bart. But, he'd be salty sometimes.
Salty. Yes, super, super salty. I'm super salty, but I still do my job.
I'm a liar.
And as a linebacker, I'm supposed to have that bravado, right? He's a quarterback, yes. And they get the big bucks, and they have to talk every single week. And if you have that body language, we know that people are going to pick and poke. Now, if Lamar Jackson with the dreads and the braids, and he had that same image, they would label him a thug, a malcontent, and all that stuff. Because Kyler Murray fits the party, looks like a nice little kid. You know what I mean? Look like you like want to hug Lil Webster. You know what I'm saying? He looks like Webster, little Arnold Drummond, you know, a little short kid, right? So, like, he comes off like he's supposed to be lovable, right? But really, he's the bad guy. And I know a bad guy when I see one. I know a bus Thor when I see one. I know a dude that will back the bus up on his friends when I see one. Let me tell you something. I sat next to Santonio Holmes. I've been a teammate with Chris McCallum. I know guys that will point the fingers and not the thumb, and he's a finger Thor pointer, and I've seen it before, and I'm telling you guys early. Remember, I said this when they were winning. And now that they're losing, people are pointing it out. Listen, I was looking at his body language. I was looking at the way he answered questions. I was looking at how he looks annoyed. Bro, you're the quarterback. Guess what? You got to talk every single week. They come into you. Yep. And you're the CEO. Yep. You're supposed to set the tone for the team and for the locker room. And if they see you doing this, man, what's going to happen when Fitzgerald leaves? What happens when they give you the money and Hopkins is older and you're in a rebuild and you can't go out and buy all these shiny new pieces because now, you know, you're taking up the majority of the pie, like Russell Wilson. So that's, I'm saying, potentially.
I need to know who the hell keeps texting you right now.
Bad.
Somebody's trying to get you to.
It's a CMOS.
Bart, turn your phone off.
Man, that's a fine. We're talking with Kimberly Martin. Let me ask you, though, about off that game at a local question. It's about the Giants and them playing Daniel Jones. You saw it. You were there, so you got to see it with your own eyes and what he looked like, what that offense didn't look like, or what it didn't look like that team we've saw the last four games. They were a much different-looking team. Was there some regret that you could tell, or did you see it as well, that the Giants probably made a mistake in playing Daniel Jones?
Oh, I think we saw that they made a mistake, but Joe Judge doubled down and was like, no, this is, like, I made the right call. Like, we felt like this was going to be the best situation for us. Which, you know, and the thing is, leading into the game, like, I talked to Judge, like, I talked to teammates, and I asked them, you know, they stressed that Daniel Jones is somebody that we have to protect from himself. Like, you know, I spoke to Logan Ryan, and he was saying, you know, Daniel would play on one leg if he had to because he loves his team and wants and is not looking for any excuses. But everybody, top to bottom, was saying this is going to be a doctor's decision. This is not going to be Daniel says, I'm playing, and that's it. So when he was starting, you seem like, all right, he may not be 100, but it'll be like 90. You know, like he'll still be able to move around. He'll still, and the mobility and his running ability, that's what makes them, you know, and I don't want to use the word dangerous, but you have to account for the fact that Daniel's not just going to stand in the pocket. Like, he's going to move around and make plays, and yet he could not get himself out. Like, he could not move from the pressure. Like, that eight sacks as a Arizona defense between him and Colt McCoy. Like, that, he did not look right. And now you put yourself in danger, like, well, what is he going to look like this weekend? Because now you got to start him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that
now,
was the crazy
this is a
part.
Critical three-game stretch.
Yeah, that was the crazy part for me. See, I thought that maybe Joe Judge thought, hey, our best opportunity to pick up wins are against the Cardinals and against the Cowboys. So let's play Danny now, and then we could rest him now, because we know that it's almost a foregone conclusion that we know that the Ravens game is going to be tough because they have a lot to play for, so we're going to get their best. And the Browns game is going to be tough because we're going to get their best because they're playing for something. You know, Cardinals, you know, they were coming off, they were reeling. By the time you get to the Cowboys game, they could be in already packed the U-Hauls, half of them already moved out and went on the injured reserve list so that they don't get hurt going into free agency.
But this is, like you guys are saying, this is a critical three-game stretch for the Giants.
Yep.
And you've got Browns, Ravens, Cowboys. Like, that's not a cupcake schedule at all. And so you felt good about the Giants for the last 4 weeks, and now you're like, oh, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
So does that actually change, win the division, especially looking at Washington, you know?
So does that change, right? Because, listen, I have never seen a group of fans so happy that their team had five wins. right? Like, because, like, it's like perspective, right? Most people hate that their team got five wins at this point. But because the implications of the fact that they can win the division and go to the playoffs in year one and get that type of experience, I think we were all glowing and happy. But if they lose these last two games and they end up 6-10, that's a failed season. They'll get a great draft pick. But, you know, that's not saying that this team, this program, is any closer to what we think. It's just saying that they're in a bad division, and 6-10 is good enough to put you in the conversation, or at least make you play meaningful games in December. But it doesn't, by any stretch, it's not a successful season. So do we look at Joe Judge a little differently, saying, hey, he came in here, they went out and got Leonard Williams, they went out and got, they had Jabril Peppers, they went out and got Bradberry, they brought in Blake Martinez, they went out and they spent money to improve this defense, and it only resulted in 5 wins or 6 wins. Are we looking at it differently because it didn't get the end result of going to the postseason?
Right. The defense, even though they lost to the Cardinals, and they gave up 20-something points, like, that defense, credit to Patrick Graham, and I shout him out on the countdown, too, because what the defense has been able to do this year has been impressive. That said, all the questions to me are on offense. I know you don't have Saquon. Like, you'll get him back. Okay, cool. We still don't know what Daniel Jones is. Like, is he the face? Like, I know the Giants are saying yes. But I think the fan base is sort of like, I've seen flashes, and then I've also seen a kid that's turning the ball over. And he hadn't been doing that, you know, while they were winning recently. But you just don't know. Jason Garrett, the offensive coordinator, like, you wonder, like, you know, will there be changes there? I think the Giants have their head coach. They like Joe Judge. He's shown that he can make this team competitive. But offensively, it's not enough. They need more on offense, and, you know, especially when you look at Washington and what they went from Dwayne Haskins to Kyle Allen to Alex Smith.
We gave you Golden Tate. We paid Golden Tate. We gave you Golden Tate. Great signing, Dave Gettleman. We paid you.
I'll tell you what, Kimberly, we'll have to.
Bart Smith is Kyler, and then Golden. That's what makes the best. That's it.
Well, no, his list is Dave Gettleman, and we have actually had arguments on the air about what the Giants should do going forward with that position with general manager. But that'll have to be for another time, because we've got to run. But Kimberly, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on. We've been wanting to get you on. And promise us you'll still be part of the show in the new year when we, you know, move to the different platform to national.
Anything for my guys. Good talking to you.
All right. Appreciate it.
Kmart!
There's so much going on today in the world of sports that the audio files that Anthony had put together before the show started, scrapped.
Audible, Omaha!
Yeah, I tore it up. Bad game plan. Throw it out. We've got a new... See, this is what you do. You adjust on the fly. That's what good teams do.
Yeah, man.
And that's what we did. So what we got for you is hot off the press.
On me right there.
No, not at all. It's a good job.
No, you say on this me because it's a good job. Right. He's on me, so he basically said, I did this. Look at me. I did it.
You're saying that's why he did that? 100% on me. I took care of this.
That's on me. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Well, you clowns were goofing off doing some show...
Talking about Kyler Murray here looking like Stewie.
Really?
Actually, Chris in Manhattan has another comparison to Kyler Murray. Chris?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Before I get to that, Alan, I got to big you up.
What do you got?
Jody Watley. I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh,
I'm going to leave it at that.
Yo, I'll tell you what. I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to name drop. But this is funny. Yesterday, after the show...
I
know you saw it. So I was in my office, and we did our sales Zoom with the Bristol people. And I was done. I was just kind of like going through some stuff. And I like to play music in my office. And I hadn't heard I like to find songs I haven't heard in a long time. And I don't know what it was that made me think of Jody Watley. And so I was like, I just said, Alexa, play me Jody Watley. So then I'm hearing, like, you know, want me, don't you want me, right? Like, all those songs. And I'm going, like, damn, like the Hasta La Vista, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so I just tweeted at her. And I just said, Alexa, play at Jody Watley. Just because I thought, you know, let other people who haven't heard Jody Watley in a while go, oh, man, I haven't heard that in a while, right?
Yeah.
And she tweeted me back.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
Clark.
Hey, yo, Jody Watley was
all over the world who are jealous right now.
Yeah.
I'm not a jealous person, but I was cutting my eyes at you. And today, I got to give you, I got, man, I got to give you a verbal high five.
I love Jody Wild. Back in the day, now I was about 17 years old.
She's my Claire Huxtable, bro.
She
came off Soul Train, right? She came off Soul Train, right?
Did she?
Did she?
She might. I don't know. Well, all I know is this.
Remember, you got to remember Shalimar, too, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Shalimar came from, there was a band that was made by Don Cornelius.
Okay.
You're right.
That's
good history. Bart is correct on that.
But, Chris,
that
it's funny. A 17-year-old me, you know, going to my, mm-hmm. you know, going to St. Anthony's High School. And, mm-hmm. Jody Watley was definitely on that list of, like, you know, mm-hmm. inspirations. I'll leave it at that. Like Jody mm-hmm. Wilder,
you can hear it in my
inspiring.
Voice. You can hear it in my voice.
I know your voice is cracking. It's hilarious.
My man. I'm like this. Go ahead, B. Go ahead. Get your PIMP stroll on. You are loud. But Bart, let's move forward. Bart, are you familiar with Babyface Finster?
No. Babyface who?
Oh,
Babyface. That's why Alan's laughing. Oh, Finster.
Was this Bugs Bunny?
You got to check out. Bunny. Bart, when you see that, ask yourself, is that Kyler Murray? and when you finally catch him out there in the press conference, that's when the light is clicking on and off, and he wants to try to jump back into a baby. Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking at. Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at baby face.
Chris started all kinds of trouble today on the show. We appreciate you, man. Thank you. Chris started all kinds of trouble. I wasn't going to mention Jody Watley.
Yeah, Jody.
I didn't want to do that, but he brought it up, so I guess I have to flex
Jody,
a little bit.
Jody Wildley used to be that thing. I just saw it. I didn't know she went back at you.
She did. Yes. Well, she tweeted at me about how she said, "Have Alexa play the holiday." She has a holiday song from a couple of years ago. It's actually pretty damn good. And then one of her new songs. And then she said, "Why not give him the full Monty?" And then she had a couple emojis, and I was just like, "I'm all about that."
How old is she right now?
It don't matter.
That's what I'm saying.
Jared in Williamsburg wants to do an impression for us. Jared, what do you got?
Myself is here for security, not.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Michelle's biological clock is ticking like this. We just played that spot, too. It's good timing by you.
I know, I heard. And they gave me more time to practice as well. Look, I got a couple of things to ask y'all.
What do you got?
Especially you, Alan. Hey, can you send me a bottle of Tullamore Dew because I'm a high-function alcoholic and I can't find that around in my neighborhood?
You can't find Tully? Tully's available everywhere.
I cannot find a Tully. And if you can't send me the whole bottle, just send me a couple of snips, you know, the ones I can get on the airplanes with. And number two, Bart and Alan, what part of the borough should I stay out of when Trevor Lawrence announces that he is not going to the Jets?
You know, Rich Cimini did a story that's on ESPN.com today where he talked to a bunch of agents who were, like, sort of leaning towards, if I was representing him, I might think twice. So what borough should you stay out of? Where's the Jets-heavy borough? Long Island's Jets-heavy?
Long Island.
Would Queens be Jets-heavy?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I feel Brooklyn is all Giants, right?
Yeah, Queens is definitely
Jets. Queens has got to be Jets heavy, right? So if you're talking about boroughs.
Staten Island, too, bro.
Staten Island Jet fans? Well, we know Ira. Ira's the Pope of Jets fans in Staten Island.
Yeah, they rock hard out there for them.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that can't happen.
That ain't going to happen, man. Listen.
Cimini quoted Archie Manning in this story. That's how deep this thing got.
Yeah, but it ain't no Archie Manning. He ain't got no Archie Manning followers. Like, if he gonna do that, where you gonna go? Jacksonville?
Hire a coach. It changes everything. Hire the right guy and don't waste any damn time.
You got the general
and then
manager.
Trevor Lawrence can look and go, you know what? They got cap space. This guy can coach. Like, all right. I like that.
And listen, this is the thing. I believe free agency happens before the draft. When they go out and get those receivers, and they go out and they spend that money, like, listen, Trevor, this is what we got sitting here for you. We ain't got has-beens, guys that have been out the league, coming back. Yeah. No, we got proven stars.
So you're saying renovate the house before you sell it.
Absolutely. So the Jets going to be able to do that. They're going to have a coach for him to say, all right. Yeah. Then they're going to say, all right.
Well, and then some weapons.
Yeah, what you want? Allen Robinson? You want Zach Ertz? All right. You got Young Mims, Crowder? All right. I can see that.
I still would be working on him already, though. You know, I'll be talking to Dabo. I'd be talking to whoever I can down there. Just
I got to do is send Rex down. Well, you got to pay Rex. Rex, like, nah, if I'm going to be the coach, then I'll go down there and talk to
Dabo. I'll go down there, but you got to give me a contract first. We shall see right now. Wait, Jody Watley, 61.
Oh,
go ahead and Google. Go ahead and Google her recent.
Just
polls.
Google it. Oh,
that's nice and supple, right there, bro.
Do not look 61.
Phrasing.
I'm telling you that.
That brown
sugar don't do that. Did you see
the audio file?
I guess Anthony's had enough. Let's move on. Anthony says.
I'm about to go to a dark place. I was about to start naming. I was about to name them 50
technically,
and over.
Technically, I was too.
That's ready.
Brian Cashman. That was well done by Anthony. It's almost like he was passively aggressive taking over the show. Give me the wheel! Brian Cashman was talking to reporters today on Zoom on DJ LeMahieu and them getting it done at some point. Will they get this thing done, please? Brian, what do you say?
It's driving the bus a little bit. You know, we have a very strong, committed roster already, you know, and that, I think, is an example of the Steinbrenner family's commitment to fielding a championship-contending team. DJ LeMahieu is a big piece of that, and so we're certainly not dipping our toes in various waters until we get a feel for how that declares himself. So clearly, obviously, I have a middle infielder in Gleyber Torres, and our strong preference is DJ LeMahieu, you know, to return and play second for us.
Strong preference.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why this
But he's letting him know. He's letting him know, though, that...
Why does he sound like I'm dealing with a budget? Why does he sound like I'm dealing with a budget? We're doing the best we can.
Because of Giancarlo.
There's something weird going on in baseball.
You know, Judge and Glaber's right behind them.
Yep. Yeah, I know. They got big decisions to make, and Gary. So, all right. Next up, speaking of money, Giannis Antetokounmpo off the market. 5 years, $228, locked in with Milwaukee for the next at least four seasons. LeBron James, who also just signed an extension to stay with the Lakers, and Anthony Davis did as well, what he thought of Giannis and his new big deal.
I don't know if I can relate to his situation. All of our situations are different, totally different, actually. They tried to build something great for him, and obviously they did enough to keep him there. And, you know, I think it's great that he's staying there. He's committed to that franchise, and, you know, and that's what it's all about.
LeBron's lightweight called him a dummy. That's what he said.
Well, LeBron didn't commit to Cleveland, and that's
right,
kind of what...
Right, he's saying, listen, you just boxed yourself in, bro, for 4 years. Now you don't have the ability to hold the organization accountable because guess what? They have you on the contract. There's nothing you can do about it, at least to year four. Every situation is different. I wouldn't have personally did that. I would have just decided to get top-of-the-market money every single year, one or two year deals, where I can always be at the top of the market and cash in that way. And if I need to leave, I can leave immediately.
Yeah, but it's a lot of money.
That's LeBron being passive aggressive. He gonna get that money regardless. He's just coming off a $100 million contract.
Uh-huh. I hear you. All right, next up, this is interesting too. On the college football playoff, here's Kirk Herbstreit. Herbie talking on KJZ about changes what's so obvious about the college football playoff, what we already know that we'll see for the next couple of years and why that's not a good thing. Take a listen.
Our postseason is as bad as there is. Mm-hmm. And we have got to figure out a system that opens up opportunities. Like right now, let's just say the season ends January 12th. I can already tell you, 2021, Ohio State's coming out of the Big Ten.
Yep.
Clemson's coming out of the ACC.
Yep.
Alabama's coming out of the SEC. In 2021, I can tell you 2023, Ohio State's coming out of the Big Ten.
Yep.
Clemson's coming out of the ACC. Alabama's coming out. It's like, who's the fourth team? Is Oklahoma going to come out of the Big 12? Maybe Keys boys out of USC get it together? Maybe USC? Like, if that's where we are. Is that right? Is that healthy for the sport?
See, I think what you know, and what I've said many times, Bart, right? And Notre Dame is always that fourth team. If they can get Notre Dame to be that fourth team, they'd love it. Why? College football does something that's obvious that the pro sports just won't do. The major markets. Now, I know Alabama, major market. No, I'm talking about your big teams, your
brands,
showcase
brands,
team, your brands. Yes. Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson. Those are your brands. Now, Michigan would be a brand, too, if they could just get it right, but they can't get it right.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. Who are you watching? You're watching Alabama if they're in the championship game. You're watching Clemson. You're watching Trevor Lawrence. You're watching this stuff. Are you 4 o'clock in New York? Do you think people are watching Notre Dame, Clemson? Absolutely they're watching it because of Trevor Lawrence and Notre Dame. That's why. That will get a good rating in New York, even though it's 4 o'clock on a Saturday. So that's the obvious. They put their big brands in the big games.
Are you watching?
The question is, will they ever expand it so you just get more teams involved in the playoff by opening it up for one more weekend if they can? And now, there's week zero that they could do, which they move the season back to early August, and then you can start early and push everything ahead so you could add that extra week, extra layer of playoffs and put some more bowls involved in the rotation. That remains to be seen. But I'll just tell you, what Herbie says there is the obvious. But it's not such a bad thing because it is still about the business. All right, last thing we got to sneak in here real quick for it. I'm sorry. But this is Adam Gase and a very interesting question asked, and I believe by Rich Cimini, whether or not he feels he let Chris Johnson down. Listen to this.
The way
answer.
The season's gone, do you almost you feel, is there a part of you that feels like you let him down?
Yeah, trying to figure out where things went wrong, what can we change. It's like you're trying to evaluate things as you go and adjust to try to fix whatever the issue would be for that, you know, month or those 3 games or 4 games. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. We haven't done that. For him not to feel a playoff feel of being competitive, you know, in December is just, it's disappointing to me that we haven't been able to do that for him.
Thoughts?
I mean, it's obvious, right? The guy's out of here. And he may have cost Chris Johnson an opportunity to lead this team going forward. Could you imagine during the 4 years that Woody has been gone, if he would have had some AFC championships, if he would have had some
just playoff appearances, yeah,
then Woody would have came back and he may not have got that spot. It's like when your little brother, like, go away or you come back, like, man, what the hell you been doing? Like, I was trying to fix it. Man, give it here, man. You messed everything up, man. Now I got to go behind you and fix it all over again. Woody's going to be able to say that because Woody has had success. It was under Woody's leadership that the team went to the AFC Championships and they were contenders no matter how short that period was. It was under Woody's regime. Even the year when they didn't go and they were 10-6, it still was a successful year under Woody. So now Christopher may lose his opportunity to control the team because of the results aren't there. So it's bigger implications than just Adam Gase losing his job. It's Chris Johnson potentially losing his ability to run the team the way he sees fit. He has to get it back to Big Bro.
I agree.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, we don't have games tonight, so instead Lunch Money is going to be in a week from today is when we begin the NBA season. So we got over-unders to talk about. So Bart, we'll do the two locals, and then we'll get three interesting teams here. So over-under, Knicks at 22.5. Now, keep in mind, 22
wins. So you're telling
wins,
me there's a chance.
70,
yeah!
72 games this season, not 82. So 22 wins is a 30.5 winning percentage, right? 305 winning percentage. Last year, their winning percentage, they won 21 games. Their winning percentage was 318. So they're actually projecting that's lower than last year. Are they a better team? Do you take the over or under on 22.5 for the Knicks?
I mean, you have to ask yourself, what's the war on Thibodeau? Like, what's the war on Thibodeau? Like, how much better is he as
look at you going analytics on me, you know, adding the coach. How many wins does the coach add? They started out awful, right? The Knicks were the start of the season when Fizz got fired. Like, they just went 4-18 or something. They were terrible.
So I think this would be a more professional outfit. I think he's a more of a disciplinarian, you know what I mean, than Fizz is.
So over under.
So I'm going to go over, but I'm going to go over slightly by three.
Okay, over under. All we need is over under. You're going over.
Yeah.
Over on the Knicks on 22.5. You know what? I'm with you. I will take the over on the 22.5, but I'm with you too. It'd be slightly. Nets are at 45.5. Now, you want to talk about war. What is Kevin Durant and a healthy Kyrie Irving?
A motivated
deliver
Kyrie
to a team that last year won 35. They were under 500 last year. Remember, Kyrie was hurt most of the season.
Right.
You taking the over or under on 45?
This is a engaged.
Now remember, 43 Kyrie wins in a 72 game season is 600 winning percentage.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, you got to look at it that way. So, what do you got there?
I'm going to go over because I think KD's worth 10.
Whew.
I think he's worth 10 because you know
over
what?
Over on 45 and a half. Mm.
Because I think that he makes Kyrie engage and he holds Kyrie accountable because Kyrie doesn't want to become the back page story because KD like is it. Having an MVP type of story. Like so the narcissist in Kyrie is going to step up and play more games and not take games off because
like
he doesn't want to be the second fiddle. He don't want to be sunned like LeBron sunned him. He don't want to feel that same right. way. So he's going to try and outshine. You know what I mean? So I'm going to give it slightly above and they'll beat up on the East.
All right. In 30 seconds, let's do these real quick. All right, okay. A couple of the interesting teams. Lakers, they're at 47.5, over or under. 47.5 is a big number.
Yeah, they're going to be bored, though, man. They're going to have some concentration losses. I don't think they really care about having an overall best record. So I think that's something that the Clippers are under.
Under. Okay, Bucks at 51, over under. I'm going under.
I'm going to go over.
You're going over? 51 out of 72. All right.
They
all
always right. have a good record.
Let's dangle this one out there, too, because this is an interesting team, and you never know, they could make a trade as well. 76ers at 44.5, quickly, over on.
Can I go right at 44?
Yeah, well, 44.5. You can't push 44.5.
Oh, I'm going under then, because I'm going under. 44.
You're going 44. All right, interesting.
I think they make a move.
A week from now.
Jamal Murray got an itchy trigger finger.
That journey begins. The Knicks play tonight preseason, so I'll see everybody on MSG for that. They play the Cavs at the Garden. Nobody in the building,
ooh,
but that's
my boy
going
to have that thing laid, died, fried, laid to the side.
I got to get my fresh cut right now. Bart, great job. I will see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.